are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Well, right away on the screen for you, listen to this thought. We never imagine that getting our deepest desires may be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. Let me read that again. We never imagine that getting our heart's deepest desires may be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. I want us to think about that statement for a moment. And I want us to think for a moment before we jump into God's Word about this question. What do you desire? And could it be that if you were to receive that which you deeply desire, it would be the worst thing that could ever happen to you? You see, desire is very powerful. And desire is potentially very dangerous. Desire is powerful and it is potentially destructive. It's potentially dangerous only if we desire the wrong things. It's dangerous only if we desire the wrong things. But the logical question we need to ask ourselves this morning is this: how can I know if I'm really desiring the right or wrong things in my life? And the answer to that question goes beyond simply assessing our desires towards a deep assessment of the confidence of our heart. What does my heart place its confidence in? Where does my heart put its trust? Where does my heart place its hope? Because where my heart places its confidence, where my heart places its hope, that thing will begin to shape my desires. If my confidence is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, if my confidence is in something else, my desires will be formed and shaped by something else that will lead to destruction in my life if I'm to receive those desires that are deep in my heart. So last week we saw that if we had any hope of thriving in every season of our lives, we must learn to place our confidence in the Lord. On the screen, I want to remind us of a few things right away, a few reasons why we can place our confidence in the Lord, right from Psalm 27 on the screen for you. Three irrefutable reasons to place our confidence in the Lord. This is all by way of review. Number one, He is my light in my darkness. We saw last week that we can place our confidence in the Lord because if you're walking through a dark season right now, you're not going to find light on the internet. You're not going to find light in your friend's counsel in and of itself. You'll find light for your path through the Lord. He is light in my darkness. Why should I put my confidence in the Lord? We saw last week, He is deliverance when I'm helpless. The Lord is my light, we saw, and my salvation. David says, whom shall I fear? He's deliverance when I'm helpless. If you find yourself helpless in life, you're not going to get out of your helpless state by putting your confidence in other temporal things. God calls us to put our confidence in the Lord, who is a deliverer for us, who delivers us when we are helpless. I'm so thankful today, I hope you are too, that there is a God who is real, who is a mighty deliverer, who reaches out His hands to us today. He says, I am your light and I am your salvation. You have nothing to fear. There's another reason why we saw last week we should put our confidence in the Lord. We saw that He is our strength in weakness. The Lord is my stronghold, the defense of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Because of who God is, we saw last week. Because He is light in my darkness, because he is help for me when I'm helpless as a deliverer, because he is strength, a stronghold, my defense, a place of safety and refuge. We can place our confidence in the Lord. And so I'm just praying right now that each of us, regardless of where you are in your life, each of us can see with clear understanding that God is the only one worthy of our focus, our attention, our confidence. He is a place of safety and refuge for you today. And so the beginning of Psalm 27 showed us David has placed his confidence in the Lord, even in the midst of very hard circumstances. Where we're going today, the second part of Psalm 27 shows us this now. The desires that are birthed in the heart that places its confidence in the Lord. Are my desires good? Are my desires right? Are my desires going to help me to find safety and refuge and satisfaction in my life? Or are my desires going to be the worst thing that could ever happen to me if I receive them? How do we answer that question? Ultimately, have you placed your confidence in the Lord? And now we're going to see what those desires actually are. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go right away to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 answers this question for us. How can we know if our desires are actually good for us? What exactly are good desires that God wants to place in our hearts today as we place our confidence firmly in Him? Psalm 27 is going to answer that. Psalm 27, we're going to read from verse 4 to 14, the remainder of the psalm, and we're going to unpack it today and find truth. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand and one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's Word in your hand. If you don't own a Bible, take that Bible home. It'll be our gift to you. Read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Psalm 27, I'm going to start reading from verse 4. This is what David says in the midst of his hardship. David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek.' Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence." Verse 13. "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." This is for someone today. Wait for the Lord. So David has put his confidence in the Lord. He's writing this likely in the time where King Saul is pursuing him to kill him. He's got a death sentence placed upon him. He's placing his confidence in the Lord. And as he places his confidence in the Lord, what Psalm 27 begins to show us is as David places his confidence and trust in the Lord begins to shape his very desires. So this is where we're going to start. When my confidence is in the Lord, this is for you, this is for me, write this down. My heart will desire Him. When my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire Him. Notice verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Remember the context again, Psalm 27, written by David. His life is in danger. He's feeling insecure. He's feeling defenseless. He's feeling helpless. He's feeling anxiety. He's feeling uncertainty. He's feeling the weight of the danger. So let's pause right here for a moment. And understanding the context, ask ourselves this question. When we are in grave danger, what do we usually desire? It's an important question. Maybe you're in danger today. Maybe you're in trouble today. Maybe something's going on in your life today. When I am in grave danger, what do we desire? I'll tell you what I desire often. I often desire immediate relief from the danger. I often desire tangible plans and strategies to get me out of the danger. I often desire help from other people to get me away from the danger. That would be very logical. It would be a very logical thing to desire. I think most of us would experience those kinds of desires when we're in trouble. But can you identify in the text what David desires? Notice it on the screen for you. Can you see it? Watch this. One thing have I asked of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, in other Psalms, David is found expressing his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, and it's referring to heaven. It's referring to eternity. But here in Psalm 27, David is expressing his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, specifically referring to the physical temple. This is important for us to understand. Why? Because while God is omnipresent in the Old Testament, God's presence was experienced and known by God's people, specifically in the temple. Loved ones, don't miss what we're learning here. As David places his confidence in the Lord in the midst of danger, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trials, his desires are being formed such that the one thing David wants, the one thing David seeks after, the one thing David desires is that he would be in the house of the Lord with the people of God. Why? Why? Not because he misses his friends, because he wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You see what's going on here? He's on the run. He's a fugitive. His life is on the line. And he wants to be in church. Why? Because there in the temple is where he experiences the presence of God. There in the temple is where he experiences and gazes upon the beauty of the Lord. There in the temple, he receives his heart's desire. His heart's very desire, as he's placing his confidence in the Lord, is more of God in my life. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And so, loved ones, we want to understand exactly what's going on here. Because so often in our lives, when we're facing danger, when we're facing uncertainty, when we're facing trials, the last thing we think about is being with God. And that, loved ones, you need to pay attention to this. That is indicative of where you have placed your confidence. If you're in trouble today and you're online all day trying to find your way out, trying to get answers, but you haven't sought the Lord, your heart doesn't desire to go to the Lord. Your heart doesn't desire Him. Him. Then probably your confidence, the confidence of your heart, is misplaced. So write this down. When my confidence is in the Lord, my heart desires Him, but specifically my heart will desire this now, His presence. My heart will desire His presence. Notice it in verse 4 again. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He wants to be in God's presence. He wants to know God's presence in a fuller way. He wants to experience with all his senses God's presence so that he can gaze upon the Lord and find himself safe in the presence of God. There's a picture on the screen for you of a pastor named E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds was a pastor in the late 1800s, early 1900s. During his 46 years of faithful ministry, he was virtually unknown. He never attracted large crowds or gained the reputation or success some may have expected. It was only until he passed away that some of his writings became some of the most popular and impactful for some of the most key leaders in the Christian world, stirring people's hearts and affections towards a desire for God, a desire for prayer, a desire for God's presence. John Piper, one of the most influential pastors in the world today, said this of E.M. Bounds. He said, "Probably no book has had a greater effect on my prayer life in proportion to its size than E.M. Bounds' Power Through Prayer. It was the seed from which grew the tree. Brothers, we are not professionals." That's one of John Piper's well-known books. So you get a sense of the influence of E.M. Bounds' life long after he has died. Listen to an excerpt from E.M. Bounds' book, Power Through Prayer. If you don't have this book, by the way, you need to get your hands on it. Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds. Listen to what he said. He says, "The men," and I would add women, "the men and women who have done most for God in this world have been early on their knees. Behind this early rising and early praying is the ardent desire which presses us into this pursuit after God. David's heart was ardent after God. He hungered and thirsted after God, and so he sought God early before daylight. The bed and sleep could not chain his soul in its eagerness after God. A desire for God which cannot break the chains of sleep is a weak thing and will do but little good for God after it has indulged itself fully. It is not simply the getting up that puts men and women to the front and makes them captain generals in God's hosts, but it is the ardent desire which stirs and breaks all self-indulgent chains. But the getting up gives vent, increase, and strength to the desire. If we had lain in bed and indulged themselves, the desire would have been quenched. We need a generation of preachers. I'll say we need a generation of people in general who seek God and seek him early, who give the freshness and due of effort to God and secure in return the freshness and fullness of his power, that he may be as the dew to them, full of gladness and strength through all the heat and labor of the day." I read things like this in E.M. Bounds' writings, and my heart is stirred within me, and I'm challenged to consider and ask myself the question again, what do I desire most? Is it a good desire, or is it a destructive desire? And then if I ask myself the question, what do I desire the most? And the answer to me is not his presence. If the answer is not to be in his house, if the answer is not to gaze upon his beauty and inquire of the Lord, then I have to ask myself another question: where is my confidence placed? Because David shows us when we place our confidence in the Lord, the God of the universe himself shapes our desires such that we desire him, not only him, we desire his very presence manifest among us. When David says in verse 4, "Loved ones, one thing have I asked of the Lord," he's expressing this deep desire for God's presence, to be in the house of the Lord where God's people are gathered. But as I said, not just to be with God's people. You have to notice the text. He wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Now, There's so much talk in the evangelical world. There's so much talk in the church growth movement about community and about community groups and about life groups and about life on life. And you go to church and people choose a church based on the fact whether they have community or not. Is there enough people there that like me? Is there enough people there that I can resonate with? All that is fine. All that is fine. But do you know, loved ones, the number one reason to come to church is it's not community. The number one reason to come to church, David says, his desire is to be in the presence of God. The number one reason to come to church is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The number one reason to come into the presence of God is for his very presence to fill us, to change us, to speak to us, to challenge us, to stir affections in our hearts towards him so that we could inquire of him, so that we can gaze upon his beauty. If you're going through a hard time today, loved ones, do you know where you need to be? You need to be in the presence of God. David says he finds it in the temple where God's people are. You find it in church. You don't just find it in church. You find it when you're reading the Bible at home. You find it when you're praying on the streetcar downtown. You find it wherever you are because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access to his presence. But do you desire it is the question. Do you want it? Do you want him? Do you love him such that in the deepest, darkest moments of your life, having placed your confidence in him, you feel, you sense a desire stirring within you for more of him? That's what David is talking about here. The main and most significant reason he wants to be in the temple is to gaze upon the Lord and to be in his presence. So, my confidence is in the Lord. My heart will desire his presence. Secondly, when my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire this now, write this down, his protection. His protection. Notice it in verses 5 and 6. He says, for he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. It kind of reminds me, as I read about David and his finding refuge in the Lord, it kind of reminds me of the kid who's getting picked on at school. The kids are picking on him because he's smaller, he's a bit awkward, but they don't realize that his older brother is the captain of the football team. Okay? The kid can tell his teacher, or he can complain to the principal. He can try to fight for himself, but he knows that he doesn't really stand a chance. What's the kid going to do? The kid is going to go to his big brother. His big brother is bigger. His big brother is stronger. His big brother is his flesh and blood. They grew up together. They have a special relationship. His big brother will come to his rescue with a vested interest in his life. His big brother will be there for him. He will defend him. His big brother has a special interest in protecting him because he doesn't want to see his little brother get hurt. That's why he protects him. After all, he's his brother. They have a special relationship, loved ones. When you, as a child of God, have learned to place your full confidence in the Lord, you, as a child of God, are done with self-preservation. You're done with trying to seek refuge in other places. You go to your Father. You desire the protection of the one who is all-powerful, almighty. You can go other places in this world. You can find temporal relief in other places. But when your confidence is in the Lord, the protection you want is not political protection if our country is doing all well. It's not financial protection. It's not economic protection. It's not that gas prices don't go up. That's not the protection you really seek if your confidence is in the Lord. If your confidence is in the Lord, you desire in your heart the protection that comes from the one who loves you, who has a special interest in your life, who will protect you in such a way and will never leave you. That's the reality of what's going on here. And listen, I look at my life and I see so often when I'm in trouble, the protection that I seek is so
so much more less effective than the protection that God can give. If I would just place my confidence in Him, He is my light and my salvation, He's the stronghold of my life. When I put my confidence in Him, when I put my trust in Him, I then run to Him to enjoy His presence, but not just His presence, but to desire His very protection. And so if there's someone in the room today who needs some kind of protection, you're going through something difficult. You're going through something hard. You feel like you're in big trouble today. Maybe you don't feel it now, but you'll feel it later on perhaps, because that's just how life is. The question is, where will you go for your protection? The answer to that question is, where have you placed your confidence? Because if you've placed your confidence in the Lord, you will desire His presence, but you will desire His protection. That's why David's running from King Saul, and he's not looking for anyone to help him. He's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who do I have to be afraid of? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I have nothing to fear. He's my protection. He's my shield. He will conceal me. No one can do anything to me. If God is on my side, what protection are you seeking today? What protection are you pursuing today? Today, God is saying, if you're seeking something else, He says, put your confidence in me. I will be for you a refuge and safety. When my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire His presence. My heart will desire His protection. Thirdly, write this down. When my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire this now, will desire His pleasure. His pleasure. Notice it in verse 6, the second part. David says, I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Notice the worship language. Remember, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were made as an act of worship. This is what David is talking about. He wants to go to the house of the Lord, to inquire of the Lord, to be in His presence, to offer sacrifices, to offer worship. And David says that he'll offer worship, he'll offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and making melody. So I want you to see at least two things here. Firstly, as King Saul is pursuing David to kill him, David is trusting in the Lord. And as David trusts in the Lord, the concern and desire of his heart is increasingly the pleasure of God. Why do we worship? Why do we come here and sing? Let's just understand this. Let's be illuminated. Why does David want to go to the temple to inquire of the Lord? He does that because he wants to be in His presence. Why does he want to sing and offer sacrifices? Why? Is it for him? He wants to go to the temple and offer sacrifices for the Lord, because guess what becomes the desire of the heart of the one who puts his confidence, her confidence in the Lord? It's the pleasure of God. We want to please God. We desire to please God. That the Christian life is not about do's and don'ts. It's not, if I don't do this, then God's mad at me. If I do this, then God's happy with me. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a life that puts his faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. And the Lord Himself begins to transform our desires such that one of our chief desires is the pleasure of God, that we want to please Him. We want to please Him with our worship. That we want to please Him and honor Him with our sacrifices, with our giving of our resources, with our singing of our lips, with our living out this Christian life. We want to please Him. The pleasure of God is at the core of his heart. But I want you to see something else, and this is very powerful for us loved ones. As David's desire to please God increases, watch this now. David's own pleasure and joy, no matter the circumstances, also increases. That's just how it works. Notice it in the text. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. What do you mean, David? I mean, King Saul's trying to kill you. What do you want to go to church for and sing with shouts of joy? Shouldn't you be worried? Shouldn't you be coming up with some kind of plan to protect yourself? What if you get away from Saul, but he finds you later on? Like, shouldn't you be all insecure about this, David? David says, all I want to do is be in the presence of God. All I want to do, because he's going to protect me there. And as he protects me, and as my confidence is in him, guess what's happening in David's heart? I just want to please him. I just want to honor him. And as David worships and honors and pleases God, guess what God turns around and does for David? He gives him joy. So many people walking around life in the midst of hardships can't find joy, can't find happiness, can't find peace, just so downtrodden in life. There's so many reasons for that. But could it be one reason we don't have joy is because we have failed to offer God ourselves, putting our confidence in him such that he can transform our very desires, such that one of the chief desires of our hearts is to please him? And have you ever experienced this, that as you worship him and please him and live for him, he begins to honor you and fill you with joy? When was the last time you came to church and you were bursting with joy to sing to the Lord? When was the last time you were going to bed on Saturday night? You were like, I'm going to church tomorrow. I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty, to inquire of him. He's going to tell me something, to find protection and to offer sacrifices with joy. And you parked your car or you got off the bus and you walked towards this theater, and with joy you began to anticipate when the band is going to come up here and sing and play so that you can join in. It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like, but you wanted to sing with joy. When was the last time that happened to you? Some of you say, man, it's been a long time. I've just been coming, doing the church thing, going through the motions. I come and I look around, put my hands in my pockets, and I see who's on the worship team today, who's preaching. I wonder who's preaching today. Oh, okay. Or have you come to gaze upon him with a deep desire to please him? That's what this is about. We're here for him. Amen, church? We're here for him. We're here gathered in this theater. Why? Why? Are we trying to build this massive organization for the sake of having an organization? We are here for him, for his pleasure. And we want everything we do here to be for him and for his pleasure. And in the hardest seasons of your life, you can come to this place. You can be with God's people to inquire of the Lord, to seek his presence. One thing you seek, to find his protection and to seek to please him. And there you'll find God open up the heavens over your life and pour upon your life like a glass of fresh water. Joy. The joy that so many of us maybe lack today. The joy that so many of us need so much. Would you just stop for a moment and just say, if it's you and you say, it's been a long time since I've burst for joy to sing to the Lord. Would you just stop right now for a moment and say, God, forgive me. My confidence is in something else. You say, God, I want to desire your presence again. I remember the days, maybe this is you, I remember the days when I was new in my faith and I desired your presence. I remember those days when things would happen in my life, but I knew you would be there for me to protect me. My confidence was in you. I remember the days where I would come to church and burst with joy to sing to you, Lord, Lord, restore that to me. Restore that desire to me today as I put my confidence in you again. When my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire his presence. My heart will desire his protection. My heart will desire his pleasure. Finally, when my confidence is in the Lord, my heart will desire this now. His power, his power. Notice verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Notice that this is a prayer.
And it's a prayer that's really a response to a summons. Notice the summons in verse 8 now. Watch this. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. When your enemy is pursuing you, when evildoers are surrounding you, when you don't know where to turn, you will find God himself summoning you, seek my face. When everything is going wrong in your life and you don't know where to turn or where to go or what to do, you can't see clearly the next step, you will always find God himself summoning you, seek my face. Now, is our response like David's? My heart says to you, your face I will seek. Or does my heart say to you, later, I'll come back, I'll be right back. Do your own thing. Drowning in sorrow, drowning in suffering, drowning in hardship. You can't get around. And God is saying, seek my face. You say, hold on, I'll be right there. Trying your best, trying to figure it out on your own. Drowning. The evildoers are pursuing you, and life is difficult, and life is hard. Maybe this is for someone today. You will find the summons coming from God himself today to you. Seek my face. And to respond as David responds, saying, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. That is a prayer for power. That will position you for power. His prayer for power continues. Notice it in verses 9 to 10. It says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help. Excuse me. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Notice the confidence. Notice his deepest desire is that God would accept him and not reject him. And so his deep desire is essentially to be right with God. Listen. There's no power in the Christian life if you're not right with God. There's no power in the Christian life if you're not right with God. Just stop right here for a moment. Maybe you're here and God has been calling you, seek my face, and you've been rejecting and turning away. You've been seeking other things. Maybe there's unrepentant sin in your life right now. Do you know there's no power in the Christian life if you're not right with God? This is what David is expressing here. He wants to be right with God. Don't cast me away. I just want to make sure, God, that we're okay, that we're right. You've always been there for me. That's his desire. And of course, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be made right with God right now. You say, you don't know what I've done. I say, it doesn't matter what you've done. You can come with repentance to the Lord. You can be made right with God. If you want to be a man or woman filled with the power of God, praying prayers of such power, you can come to him today. I urge you, Lord, wash me, cleanse me. I don't want to be at odds with you. I don't want to be opposed by you. You give grace to the humble. You oppose the proud. I humbly come to you now. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Notice the plea and the petition. Notice the deep desire in the heart of David to sit at the feet of the Lord to learn. Do you know this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture? Or at least in the Psalms. My heart, loved ones, my heart wants so much to be in a posture of humility to say, teach me your way, O Lord. My heart wants so much for our church and our leaders and everyone in this church to be in a posture to say, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me. Think about your life today. Have you realized by now that your ways are not good enough for you? That you need to pray the prayer of power, to desire God's power that comes from a humble heart that says, teach me your way, O Lord. That you would wake up tomorrow morning that you would roll out of your bed and your face would hit the floor and you would say, teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me. I have all kinds of ideas. I have all kinds of plans. I have all kinds of strategies. But Lord, my ways aren't good enough. Please, Lord, teach me your ways. Loved ones, this is a prayer of power. And the heart that has placed its confidence in the Lord desires this power. The heart that places its confidence in the Lord is not desiring to be entrepreneurial with God, is not desiring to be all creative with God. It's the heart that says, I just give up, Lord. I'm done with my ways. Teach me your ways, please, Lord. He will. He will. One of the most powerful recognitions of all of life is that we would say, teach me your ways. Loved ones, when my confidence is in the Lord, my heart desires his presence. My heart desires so much his power. My heart desires everything that he could be for me. My heart desires his protection. My heart desires his pleasure. Stop right now, Harvest Toronto West. We're not here to play games. Does this mark the people of our church? If we put our confidence in him, we can do that today. When my confidence is in the Lord, he will, my heart will desire him. Finally, last thing is this. When my confidence is in the Lord, two more verses. My heart will, this, now write this down. My heart will wait on him. My heart will wait on him. Verses 13, 14, we're almost done. I believe, he says, that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice that David believes that he'll see the goodness of the Lord in this life. He says, in the land of the living. God's not out to make us miserable. He believes he'll see the goodness of God in this life. And then verse 14, he says to his heart, wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Here's a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word wait? Are you a good waiter? Are you patient? I was reading an article this week, Jade Mazarin, a biblical counselor who published a powerful article called God is Working in Your Waiting. Listen to what she said, and then we're going to get ready to close. She said, something actually happens while nothing is happening. God uses waiting to change us, all right? This is for someone who's waiting today. You're waiting for something. You're waiting on the Lord. The story of Adam and Eve is a story of rebellion against God. Once they believed that God didn't have their best interests in mind, they decided to go ahead without God and do what they wanted. They became, in effect, their own God. Too often, this is exactly what we do today. When God tells us to wait, we don't trust him, but we go ahead and find ways to accomplish what we want to happen. This tendency to push God to the side goes against his plan for us. It creates distance in our relationship with him. It causes us to get into trouble and brings pain. Some of us are there or been there. What good is it, she says, to gain the whole world now, whatever it is we think we want, and forfeit our soul's intimacy with God? God wants us to learn how to follow him and put down our demanding selves to calm that screaming child in us. One way he helps us to do this is to say, wait. That miserable, uncomfortable, sometimes painful state of silence is one of God's most powerful tools to set us free. Wait. Wait. The last two verses of Psalm 27, David, his life is on the line, he's in danger. He would probably much rather for this whole ordeal to be over, but he puts his confidence in the Lord. He seeks his presence, his protection, his pleasure, his power. And now he's saying, I'm just going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to wait. And so many of us have a hard time with this. Maybe some of us are in a season right now of waiting. Life is not panning out the way you thought it would. Life is not turning out the way you think it should. It's been many years for some of you. You say, well, how long do I have to wait? Just wait. You say, what are you talking? It's been 10 years. Just wait. Put your confidence in the Lord. You say, why should I wait? Let me tell you why. Two things, and then we're going to close. Write this down. Two truths I must cling to when I'm waiting on the Lord. Number one, why should I wait? God is being good to me. Why should I wait? I got to believe that God is being good to me. Notice verse 13, I believe that I'll look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whatever God is doing, I believe he's going to show me his goodness. Yes, in the next life, but also in this life. I believe that his goodness is going to be present before me. His provision, his sufficiency, his deliverance, I'll see it. I got to wait. That's what the heart says that puts its confidence in the Lord. You say, I'm tired of waiting for a spouse. I've been waiting for so long. This is a desire in my heart. I say, wait on the Lord. You will see his goodness. However he wants to show it to you, you will see his goodness. The heart that puts its confidence in the Lord believes this truth. God is being good to me right now. He's not being bad to me. Now, how many times have we thought that? We're in a season of waiting. We've thought, God is being mean to me. God is being rough with me. God is not giving me the things I want. He's being mean. God is not being mean. Just wait. Why should I wait? Because you got to believe that in the waiting, God is being good to you. Second truth I must cling to when I'm waiting on the Lord. Not only is God being good to me, last one, God is working it out for me. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to pass from this life to the next and not see the things that I'm asking God for. Just wait because, listen, God is working it all out. Okay? If your confidence is in the Lord, then you will wait. That's what David says. Wait, be strong. Waiting is not for the weak. Waiting is for those who are strong in the Lord, who put their confidence in him. Are you waiting for something today? Are you growing impatient? Are you growing weary in waiting? Are you trying to take matters in your own hands? Stop. Please, hear me. If you didn't catch anything today, catch this. If you're trying to take matters in your own hand rather than wait on the Lord, you will fall. Stop. Wait, God is working it all out. We see it all throughout the scriptures. His sovereignty, his providence, his provision, he's working it all out. See, what we fail to remember so often, God is painting this massive canvas. He's putting it together. It's huge. It's massive. It's bigger than the screen. It fills all eternity. It's this massive canvas. Each and every one of us, our whole life is like a little speck of paint on the canvas. You think you can see what he's doing? You can't, but you trust. And as God is brushing that canvas and painting on that canvas, he's putting a beautiful thing together that you don't always understand, that I don't always understand. If we wait on him, if we take courage, if we trust him, we will see the goodness of the Lord as we put our confidence in him. One day, you'll know the waiting is worth it because he's trustworthy. Amen? He's trustworthy. Let's pray. Oh God, help us. Help us today, help us tomorrow as we wake up and get ready to face a new day. Lord, today I pray for this church. Lord, even as we get ready to move towards a new ministry year and so much going on and so much planned, Lord, we want to position ourselves in this posture of waiting upon you to do the things that only you can do in us and through us. Father, in this room there are people who have placed their confidence in other things. Lord, would you draw them to yourself today? Would you draw us to the throne of grace where we find help in our time of need? And Lord, at the throne of grace, I pray many people in this room find the help they're looking for. As we place our trust and our confidence in you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would begin to shape and form our desires. That even right now we're desiring more of your presence in our lives. That we're desiring to come to your house, to sing, to worship, to please you. We're desiring your protection for the thing we're facing that's pressing up against us. We're desiring your power. Lord, one thing I desire today so much, and I don't always, but today I do, and I always want to. I desire to please you, Lord. And I desire your power. Lord, what can this church do in this city apart from your power? What can this church do in this city with human techniques and strategies? We can do nothing. But I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would help us to know you are with us and there's nothing else we could ever want or desire but you. fill each person in this room with these righteous desires. Begin with me. Let our church desire the right things for the glory of Jesus Christ as we place our confidence in you. In Jesus' name.